Hi, this is Pastor and Bible teacher Warren Hoyt, welcoming you to another audio message of the Word of God, which, according to Acts 20:32, is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among God's people. Well, this is my last message for you guys, as far as I know, unless I come back sometimes to fill in for you. It's last official message as the pastor today. I keep a record of every church wherever I'm at and what I preached and when and so forth. So you might be interested, but you might not. But anyway, I'm going to tell you, I've preached 91 messages live here since I've been here, including today. 91. Two were just Facebook. We did Facebook Live when the COVID thing first started. And then I've done three of the Servant Song messages on audio only, not here. By the way, I just did the other one last night, the last one. So I hope you'll listen to that. And so, you know, 91 messages. Then as far as teachings, I've done 110 of them since I've been here. 44 of them were Facebook Live or recorded videos. So you can still see those if you want to. We got church history up there. We got apologetics, evangelism, lots of things up there on the website, my website or the church website. So most of the studies are on my website, not on the church's, because I didn't have two different places to put them. But anyway, so lots of stuff, 110. I think that's pretty cool, 110 teachings. That's a lot of hours. That's 110 hours at least. And then lots of spaghetti suppers. Didn't make the last one, but I made all the others I could. And then lots of elders meetings. In my former church, I did hundreds of counseling sessions and lots of weddings and funerals and all that, baptisms, baby dedications. I didn't do that much of that here. Only one wedding, and it wasn't even church members. And only one funeral, that was for Bill Chamberlain, that I know of. Only one funeral. So it's good. You didn't all die on me. That's good. And you still could. She says you still could. But anyway, not as much of that personal interaction kind of stuff that I'm used to, but it's been kind of a different sort of assignment here. And of course, COVID made a huge difference in all of that. When I first came here, you know, I only came to like see if I could advise the elders or something, help them a little bit, because somebody met my wife, and then she told them I was a pastor, and they said, would you have them come over and talk to us? We need some help. So I came over first just to see if I could be of any help and advise. And I tried, the first thing I did is try to connect you to Interim Pastor Ministries that sends interim guys to take over for churches that have lost a pastor. But when Mary Lou contacted them, and they did an interview over the phone, they told her, no, we can't send you anybody, you don't have enough money. And so then they told me that at the next elders meeting I came to, what should we do? And I said, well, you need somebody who'll do this by faith. And they said, what's that mean? And I said, well, you know, they'll just come here and trust God to take care of their needs. So they said, well, where are we going to find somebody like that? And I thought, oh, boy. And so anyway, I thought, you know, I'll do it. And God started a little fire burning, like the song said, and started making me think that, you know, that I should take on this challenge here. And I began to look forward to it. And sure enough, they asked me if I would. It's a little rough at first, you know, the format. I wasn't used to your format and everything. And one of the funniest things to me, I remember I went to lunch after preaching the first Sunday, I think, I preached here. And one of the guys said to me, you did something really strange today. And I said, what's that? And he said, well, you prayed before the offering. And I said, yeah. He says, you don't do that. You pray after the offering. And I said, well, do you pray before you eat or after? Anyway, he said, we pray after. I said, okay, then I'll pray after. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. God hears you if you pray before or after, whatever. It doesn't matter that much, does it? But it was a big deal to this guy. He told me, he says, I've never, ever seen anybody do that. And I told him, I've been in churches 44 years, and I've always prayed first before. I never have seen it after. I'm sorry. There's different ways of doing things. So we had a few little things that were a little rough here and there. But basically, you know, we got through it all, and we got used to each other. And I basically came originally tentatively, like I'll just be here for a little while. And because, you know, it was like I'm from such a different background that I said, you know, I can't even explain to you what I'm used to because you're not used to it. You just don't know what I'm talking about. And so I said, I'll just begin to do the services and we'll see how it goes. And if at any time you don't like it, you can just say to me, hey, this isn't working out. And I said, that's fine. You know, you don't have to marry me. Just let's date a little while, you know, that kind of thing. And so, you know, I volunteered to step down lots of different times. Actually, within a very few months, I told everybody in an elders meeting, I said, look, you know, maybe I'll just leave. And they said, no, just stay. We don't have anybody else. Just stay for a while. So I stayed. Would you stay another 3 months? All right. Would you stay another? And so on. And so I ended up being here a year and a half. And, you know, I really believe that God brought this to me and brought me over here. I just really believe that. I thought it from the beginning. God set this up because it's very unusual that you would have a kind of pastor like me at this kind of church and vice versa, you know. And I just really believe that God did this. Now, when Lynn and I launched out of ministry, it was in 1985. We launched out. We lived in a bus, and we went to be missionaries. And missionaries, you know, you're taught that you got to go to them and be like them. Don't expect them to be like you. So I think that kind of helped me here, that I didn't come and say, you have to be like me. I'm going to change this church and make it the way I'm used to. I just said, what are you used to? And I tried to adjust, you know. Some of the things at first, you know, were a little rocky and you thought I wasn't adjusting. But I really think the Lord helped us to do that and adjust and just do it your way, you know. That's because it's like my wife always says, it's like cooking. There's lots of ways to do different things. Some people do it this way, some people do it that way. As long as it's healthy food and you're, you know, I've always said, whatever she does, it's working for me, you know. And so, you know, there's lots of ways to do it, but it's the essentials that are important. And I just really think that God set this all up. I believe he set it up that Mickey would be here as well, because Mickey came and put a flyer in the door of my office over there, and that's how I met her. And then shortly thereafter, I had to leave somewhere, and we asked her to come speak for me. And so God set that up too. He brought Mickey here, he brought me here, and we didn't have to have as much money as you would have had to pay an ordinary pastor. And I think that that's the Lord as well. You know, we got to be thankful for everything we see that he's done. He's done that. He took care of you. You know, he had us here. And my preaching and my teaching, nobody ever messed with that. Nobody told me what to do in the beginning. Different ones of you were kind of shocked at some of the things I said and told me so. And some were even a little offended with some things I said. But over time, you got used to me and I got used to you. I think that we worked through the differences. One regret I do have is that more of you weren't in the midweek studies. And I don't say that to like condemn you, but I like the midweek studies because there's fewer people and we can talk and you can ask questions and find out where I'm coming from. And if you disagree with me on something, you can tell me and we can discuss it. But anyway, you didn't get in on that. But those who did, I think we real quickly got to know each other more and trust more and so forth. And, you know, because a lot of times you just are from such a different wavelength, you don't know what the person means and you don't even know it's a shock. Like, for example, early on, they said, do you baptize babies? And I said, oh, no, I don't baptize babies. And some of the people were real shocked, like, he doesn't like babies. He hates kids. He won't even baptize a baby. And it wasn't until we were in the small group, I explained to him, oh, no, see, in my background, we believe you have to be an adult to be baptized. We dedicate babies to the Lord. We don't baptize them. We don't agree with that. Oh, so it's like, oh, you don't hate kids. No, I have 4 grandkids. I love kids. I love babies. I always dedicated all the babies. I dedicated all my grandkids to the Lord. We just don't baptize them because we believe that's what adults should do. That's a difference in Christianity and in the church world, right? There's different opinions on that. And, you know, there were just things like that where people would be shocked. They didn't understand. Like I said, I didn't believe in saying the Lord's Prayer every week. And he said, he doesn't believe in the Lord's Prayer. No, I believe in the Lord's Prayer. But where he teaches the Lord's Prayer, he says, don't say vain repetitions. Don't say the same thing over and over. And so that's why I didn't believe in repeating it every week. But that's okay. I adjusted to you guys. And I feel like it went pretty well. I've enjoyed it. And, you know, some thought early on that I was going to try to change you into a contemporary worship church. And I said, no, I'm just going to do it the way you've always done it. Because, you know, let's face it, guys. I don't know if you agree with this, but I believe the outer forms are nothing more than outer forms. They're not the essence. And so basically, look, if you are a person who likes country music, you kind of want your worship to be country type music. If you're a person that likes rap or hip hop, that's the kind of worship you want. If you're a person that likes rock, you know, rock. If you like classical and hymns and stuff, that's what you like. That's what touches your heart. It's not the outer form. It's just like whether you like what style of music, or some kind of a flavor of ice cream or another. I mean, you're not going to go to hell if you have the wrong flavor. There isn't a wrong flavor, right? It's all a matter of preference. So when it comes to your style of worship, that's a personal preference. That's a cultural kind of thing. And so, you know, you realize, don't you, that none of what we do is anything like what Jesus and his disciples did. You realize that. They didn't have an organ. They didn't have guitars. They didn't do any of this stuff. We've done it because we gradually got used to that over centuries of time. And so then we think that's how you got to do it. No, it isn't. They didn't do any of that. And so it's always important to remember the difference between form and substance. It's not the form that matters. It's the substance, the essence. What's it really about? And as long as you're worshiping God for who he really is, according to the Bible, and you worship him in spirit and in truth, that's what he's looking for. He doesn't care if you do that country or rock or whatever. I was on the banks of the Amazon River one time. 2 a.m, we got off the ferry boat, and the guy had this drum made out of a palm trunk, and he beat on the trunk, and he gave us coffee, and I needed that coffee about then. It was 2 a.m. And they worshiped with a beating on a palm trunk, you know? That's worship. It came from the heart. That's all that matters. Now, if the leaders had ever interfered with what I preach or what I teach, then I'd have been out of here. But they didn't do that. And so, you know, they left me to do that how I do it and so forth. And to me, that's non-negotiable, because that's what I'm called to do, is preach God's word the way I understand it. And nobody interfered with me on that, and I'm thankful for that. And so, you know, I believe that God had me here to speak what I spoke for whatever time I was here. Every message I came here, I always said, Lord, I don't know how long I have here. Please help me to make it count. Make it count. Make these messages count. Help me to give them something that they need. Help me to give them something important, something that will be useful to them. And so, you know, that's what I tried to do during this time. And so that's what I want to do today. Before I leave, I want to just hit it one more time, you know. And I want to try to talk about what are the essentials, you know. What are the main points? Because, you know, the Bible's big. The Bible's a big, thick book, and there's a lot in there. And as I shared with you once before, I could preach for hundreds of years and never preach all this. So there's no way I'm gonna cover it all. Every single part of the Bible is useful. It's inspired by God. That's what the word itself says. It's inspired by God, and it's useful for us. But let's face it, if you only had a certain amount of time, you'd want to make sure you got the essentials. And so, you know, I learned this years ago with the guy who taught me Spanish, and he taught me missions, but he did this out in the street, and I've done it hundreds of times ever since then. He said to everybody, he said, folks, this Bible has two parts. This first part here is the Old Testament, or the First Testament, the First Covenant. He said, and this part here, that's the new one, the New Covenant. He said, this is the way you used to have to relate to God. This is how you came to God. And this is the way you come to God today. And the people were just like amazed. And I saw that lots of people don't know the simplest things like that. That's what you need to know. This is the way you come to God. This was a precursor. It sets the tone. It foretold this. And this is in here concealed. And this is in here revealed. And if you listen to that servant song thing I preached last night and put on Facebook or on the website, you'll see that. It was concealed here. It was revealed here. And so the whole essence of this book is how to come to God, how to be with God, how to relate with God. Because that's the one thing you need before you leave this world. You gotta be right with God. Nothing else matters. Nothing. How much money you made, how famous you were, whether you accomplished all that you wanted to do in life, none of that matters. All that matters, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only whether or not we're in relationship with Him. That's the only thing that counts. And so, this is the new way. But now, that's essential. This book is God's Word, the way to relate to Him. What else does it say? Well, both the Old and the New Testament tell us plainly that we're not with Him naturally. And that's a huge thing. People say we're all God's children. You are in the sense that you're His creation, but you're not His child unless you're born again. The Bible plainly says that. To those who received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. So the message of Old and New Testaments both is that, look, you are not with God unless you come to Him through His covenants. You're not with Him. Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, unless you're born again, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Why are we not with Him? Because of the problem of the human race, which is sin. Or as the southern preachers say, sin. What did the preacher preach on? Sin. Was he for it or against it? Well, he was against it. Sin is what keeps us from God. And so the Old and New Testaments teaches that. Adam and Eve fell, and we inherited that. There's something wrong with us. Our motherboard is cracked. We're not with Him. We're estranged. The whole human race is estranged, and that's so important that we understand. Adam and Eve made wrong choices, and then that passed on to us by heredity, but the thing is, we've all made our own wrong choices ever since. And that's why we have lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, fornication, unfaithfulness, wars, poverty, disease, everything we got here in this messed up world came from that. And so it's so important to understand that basic truth, and many people don't understand it. You know, just a sideline here, you know, a lot of people today, they want to look to government, and they feel like a lot of young people want to be socialists, for example. They think that would be a better system. And a lot of times the reason is that people think that what we need is a different government. If we could get the government right, and if we could get all the people to think right, like we do, why then we'd make a nice new world. That's what Lenin thought, and Stalin, that's what Hitler thought. That's what the people in the French Revolution thought. They thought, you know, the problem is just government. If we could get the right government and get people to think right, that would fix everything. And, you know, the academia, they're trying to teach everybody to think their way. That'll fix everything. You know, we Christians, because we understand the Bible, we know, look, we want the best government we can get, and we want to be good citizens and vote and do all that. And we believe government's very important. Look at North and South Korea at night. Have you ever seen that picture of North and South Korea at night? The North is totally dark. The South is totally lit up. Why? Because of the politics. Politics makes a big difference. But folks, politics will never change the human heart. And so that's what the Bible teaches. You got to do the best you can with government, but you're never going to create utopia. Utopia is not till after this life, because we're cracked. We're messed up. We're cracked pots. And so the problem of sin keeps us from ever doing anything perfectly right. You can have the best leaders. You get the guy from your party. You get the guy from your race, and you think that'll solve the problem. No, it won't. Because he or she, they're still a sinner. and everybody's still a sinner, and we just it messes things up always. And Scripture is just full of that. And so the most important thing, the foundational thing, is to understand our lostness. And that's that sermon I preached last night and I put up on the website. I hope you'll listen to it, because God wouldn't have sent the suffering servant to go through all he went through if we were okay and we could just pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, right? The fact is, we cannot save ourselves. We can vote for the best, the most brilliant. It just will not save us. It won't change our hearts. And so we can't reach to God. That's why he reached to us. That's the message of both Testaments. In the Old Testament, he reached to Israel. He brought them out of Egypt. He brought them to himself at Mount Sinai. He gave them the covenant. This is how you got to live. Be holy, because I am holy, and I'm going to dwell with you in this tabernacle, but you can't come to me because you're sinners, and so you have to sacrifice these animals. Something has to die if you're going to come close to me, and none of you can but the high priest. None of you can come to me. I'll be with you there in that tabernacle, but none of you can come to me. That's what the Old Testament shows us. We're sinners. We can't come. And the New Testament shows us God had to come down here to save us. And God had to live the life we can't live. And then God had to give his life as a ransom to buy us. And so that's the most essential message. God has to save you. You can't save yourself. And you have to recognize that and recognize God's way of saving you, because you can't come however you want. You got to come how he wants. In the Old Testament, you came to the priest, you gave him a bull or a goat or whatever. He sacrificed it for you. He went into the presence of God. That's how you did it. You didn't go in there. You go in there, you'll die. God will kill you. In the New Testament, same thing. You can't go in there. You got to have a priest. And the Bible says Jesus is our priest. You got to have an offering, a sacrifice. And the Bible says Jesus is the Lamb of God who offered himself once for all for us. And so he brings you in. You can't come to God however you want. You got to come how God wants. And he says that Jesus is the only way. Nobody else and no other way can you ever relate to God. You can only relate to God through the suffering servant, Jesus. And so that's what begins the Christian life, when we understand that. And when we receive the Lord as our Savior personally, every person has to do it personally. And when you do that, he comes to live in you by his Spirit, and you begin this pilgrimage, which is called the Christian life. This life is meant for you to live with Christ in you, guiding you and empowering you and making you a new creature, so that your whole life is about living as he wants you to. We're on this pilgrimage. And however many years we get to live on this life, what it's about is learning to trust God, right? Learning to trust him. Learning to yield to him and to let him lead us. He is our shepherd, leading us through the desert of this world and leading us all the way. We have to strive to do that, to trust in him and walk with him as we face different trials and temptations and difficulties here in this life. It's all about interacting with God, depending upon God. And so God begins that work when you turn your life over to the Lord Jesus and trust in him. In fact, it even begins before that, because the Bible says nobody comes to him unless he himself draws you. So then we choose this. You have to choose this. If you don't choose it, it won't be yours. You have to ask God to forgive you, and you have to turn from your sin and turn from living your own way and ask him to help you live his way. And that brings about the new birth, which we talked about. You have to be born again. Nobody is with God until they're born again. Nobody. God has provided that salvation in Christ. And also, the Bible tells us in several places that he's given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Everything that we need, he's provided in Christ and in the various means that he uses. Now, that is why the church exists. Don't ever forget it. That is why the church exists. The church comes from the word ekklesia in Greek, which means the people called out. It's a called out assembly. You're called out. Called out of what? The world. You live in the world as a sinner, doing things your own way, doing things the devil's way. God calls you out from that. He called Israel out from Egypt to be his people. He calls us out from the world. We're the called out assembly of people. We leave the rebellious world, the sinful world, the ungodly world, and we come to God, and we want to live a relationship with Him and let Him accomplish in us what He wants. What are we here for? We're here for Him to live in us and work through us and continue His ministry that He started 2,000 plus years ago. That's what we're here for. This is the continuation of the ministry of Christ. You know that, right? We're to continue the ministry of Christ. He walks in us. He lives in us. He wants to use us to be a light on the hill, to shine and show the way and draw people in and so forth. We're to walk with Him in obedience, living the way He wants. We're to fulfill what Rick Warren calls the five purposes of the church, which are worship, evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, and service. That's why we're here. That's why Beverly Hills Community Church exists. That's why every church exists. And if they forget that, they're wasting their time doing stuff God didn't want. You don't do those five things, He's not going to bless it. You're here for those five purposes: worship, evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, and service. That's what we're here for. God works in our lives by three primary things. Don't ever forget: the Spirit, the Word, and the Church. That's how God works, through the Spirit, the Word, and the Church. The Spirit draws you to Christ in the first place. He lets you see that you're a sinner. He makes you see that Jesus is the Savior you need. He convicts you and brings you to a place where you cry out to Him and you believe in Him. And when you do that, He comes and lives in you. And He is the power of the Christian life, right? It's all about following Him, yielding to Him. If He brings some kind of conviction to your heart or mind, you feel guilty for something, He's guiding you. So you repent of that something. And you feel a desire to fellowship with other Christians, or go to church, or read His Word. That's Him putting that in you. You read the Bible and something kind of shines out to you. That's Him showing you that. So He lives in us. And He lives in us as individuals, but He also lives in us corporately as the church. And that's why we have to go to church. Because when you go to church, the Spirit of God is there in many people, and He's given each of them different gifts. So you're going to receive more of God in church than you will alone. People say, I can worship on the golf course. Well, you don't, number one. But number two, you really can't, because you're not going to get all you need. Why do we have pastors and teachers? God puts them in the church to equip us. But we have people who shake our hand, encourage us, are friends to us, or who pray for us, who somebody has a sort of some wisdom about them that they share with you in some way. It helps you through a rough time. God moves through the Spirit of God in His church. And so we need the church. You can't say, I'm not going to go to church. I'll just, me and Jesus, that's it. No, you can't do that. Hebrews 10, 24, 25 says, don't do that. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's like those presents you put together on Christmas Eve for your kids, you know, or grandkids. Some assembly required, right? Assembly is required. You got to come to church. You got to hang in there with other Christians. They have something you don't have. I have gifts you don't have. You have gifts I don't have. Nobody's got it all. So we need the church. And we need the Word of God. The Spirit, the church, the Word of God. The Word of God is absolutely essential. You know, it's God's way of speaking to us. It's God's way of guiding us, correcting us, encouraging us. The Bible says all Scripture is inspired of God, and it's given to accomplish all these different things in us. It feeds us. And so, like, one Scripture I want to leave you with is Acts 20, verse 32. Every audio sermon now that I put on the webpage, I have these little intros and outros that I put on. And you'll notice the intro always says, hi, this is Pastor and Bible Teacher Warren Hoyt. You know, and this is another message of the Word of God, which, according to Acts 20, 32, is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among God's people. I put that on every single sermon. Because Paul said to the Ephesians there in Acts 20, he said, this will be my last time with you. And so I commend you to God, he said, and to his word, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among God's people. And so the most important thing I can leave with you is this idea that God works through the Spirit, the church, and the word, but especially the word. I want you to get that. It will build you up and give you an inheritance among God's people. I've read the Bible every day for 44 years. And I really believe that's one of the main things that's kept me going. It's given me guidance and encouragement and inspiration, and it's helped me to think in different ways that I wouldn't have thought otherwise. We think wrongly, folks. We're from the world. We think wrongly. We have to be changed, transformed by the renewing of our minds, and that only happens through the Word of God. If you spend time in the Word of God, it's the Word of God that teaches you the other things you need, like that teaches you who the Spirit is and how He guides you and how you have to be filled by Him and so forth. It teaches you what the church is. If you don't pay attention to the Word of God, you have notions of what the church is that are not what God says it is. And you spend your time doing the wrong things. It's the Word of God that shows us all the rest. Shows us, you know, our need of a Savior and that Jesus is that Savior. It shows us that we need to go to church. It talks to us about the gifts of the Spirit and so on and how God feeds us there in the churches. And so don't ever get away from the Word of God. Develop a habit of reading it every day. I'm telling you, it's one of the greatest habits you could ever develop. Bodily exercise is good, Paul says. But, you know, the body eventually wears out. Scriptural, biblical disciplines, like studying the Word of God, they'll be good for eternity. They'll help you for eternity. And so, don't ever neglect the Word of God. See, the church is for the Word of God. And not the other, well, you could say the Word of God is for the church, but I mean, the church is primarily a place to preach and teach the Word of God and help one another live according to the Word of God, right? The Bible says all flesh is as grass. It's like a flower. The flower fades, the leaf withers, but the Word of our God will stand forever. And so you could even say churches come and go and change and so forth. You know, churches morph and change all the time. You know, it's the truth that if you step into a river today and step into it tomorrow, you're not stepping in the same river. Have you ever thought of that? I'm sure you've heard that before, right? You're not stepping in the same river. Why? It looks the same, but you know the water's different because it's always moving. That's the way the church is. Church is moving. People move in and out of town. New people come. New pastors come. New leaders come. Other people go. That's the way the church is. It's constantly changing and morphing, but the Word of God is forever. The Spirit is forever. And if you accept Christ, you're part of the church of Jesus Christ. And that's forever, right? But the outer form like this can change. You know, I'm going to leave here. Somebody else is coming. It'll be different. Okay? But you're part of the church if you know Jesus. And that church is eternal, but it God shifts us around. He's going to move me somewhere else. I don't even know how many churches I've been in my life. I've been in a lot of them, all kinds of churches. I've been in Baptist churches and Calvary chapels and the Vineyard, and I've been in the Assemblies of God, and I've gone to Orthodox, and I've been to Catholic churches. I've been to a lot of different churches. But I am part of the church, and that doesn't change. And the Word of God and the Spirit of God have been with me in all those churches. So get the priorities right. Make sure you're right with God and that you're born again, that you have His Spirit in you and that you spend time in His Word every day. Then you're part of the church and that never goes away. And you just look for that local expression of it, wherever that may be and whatever it may be. It's all just different manifestations of the life of God. And some people have earrings and tattoos and play guitars and beat on drums. And other people have stained glass and pipe organs and all that. That's not the important thing. It's being right with the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing Him personally, accepting Him in your life, and basing your life on the Word of God. Amen? The Spirit, the Word, and the Church. Those three things. The church. And so I just wanted to end my last message here with you, just talking about those most important things, because I know that'll keep you no matter what happens, no matter who comes, no matter how things come or go. And I do want to wish you well. You know, it's like the saying farewell. You know, we just say that like goodbye. But farewell means I want you to fare well. By the way, goodbye, you know where that comes from? God be with you. It's shortened form of God be with you from the Old English. Goodbye. God be with you. See? So I want to wish you well. And that I pray that God will lead this church and the leaders of this church and always keep you revived and connected to the universal church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just make that your priority, that you're with the Lord and He'll take care of you. You can be sure of that. Nothing, He will never fail His people. Amen? If you're one of His, just trust Him. That's what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. I don't have a job, but I'm trusting that the Lord, He brought me here and He's taken care of me all along. So that's what I got to do. And that's what you got to do. Trust Him for the future of this church. Let me pray with you together one last time in public, and then we'll start our congregational meeting. Heavenly Father, I thank You for allowing me to serve here with this group of people for this length of time. I have tried to do what I thought You wanted me to do the best I could, Lord. I pray that You'd take whatever I've spoken, whatever teachings and everything, that You just use them for the good. If there's anything that You didn't want Your people to hear, may it be filtered out and may it fall by the wayside, but may that which is really of You, may it stay, and may You stoke the fire, Lord, by Your Spirit. And Lord, I pray that this group would fare well, that each one of them would tend to their garden, tend to that relationship with You, that they'd love Your Word, that they'd seek the leading of Your Spirit. And Lord, I pray for Myron, I pray for all the leaders, Lord, I pray for Mickey, I pray, oh God, that Your will would be done and Your kingdom would come here and continue to come and continue to be manifested here and worked out here as You want it to be. And I thank You for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Farewell. God bless you. Thanks for listening today. If you have any comments, questions, or prayer requests, I'd be happy to receive them from you. Just scroll down and you can send them from the website directly. Also, if you'd like to support this ministry, you can do it on the website by clicking the donate button or contact me to make a different arrangement. Thank you.